of our students. We have students from just all parts of Mexico come, and we're so thankful for those. And there's one thing that you probably noticed when we talked about the beginning of the school, is that this school, their school is especially for people who know that they're called by God to do His ministry. And it's fascinating because that is the very first question we ask every student when they come to matriculate, to come in and start their school. The first thing we ask them is, are you certain that God has called you to His ministry? Are you sure that this is God's will for your life? And invariably, almost every one of them do say, well, yes, that's why I'm here. God has called me. But occasionally there's some that come and they just think, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not really called. Well, but this is something that happens in the life of young people. When they come to this time in their life, when God is working in their heart. And that is why this morning we want to talk about this very subject, the call of God. What is the call of God? Many times it's kind of a fuzzy idea. What is the call of God? They think, well, some people think they're going to have an experience like Paul had, where the Macedonian call, where they saw a man in a vision in the night. But today, God works in more concrete ways. Today, God does not, we don't hear the voice of God speaking directly to us, but we have the Word of God right here. And the Holy Spirit takes this. When we read the Scripture, God takes this and applies it to our life. So this morning, we want to talk about the call of God. This is one thing that missionaries really want to talk about when we come home. Because we want to see God calling people out of the new generation that's coming up. The new generations, you say, well, hey, I'm just in grade school. Well, God can call you if you're in grade school. You might say, well, I'm just getting out of high school. I don't know what to do. Well, maybe God has something for you to do. Today is not my business. Today is not the call for me to call you to be a missionary. That's not at all. Because the work of calling out people for God's service is the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Word of God, taking the Holy Spirit and applying it to your life. So this morning we want to talk about the call of God. We want to look, if you'll turn, we'll turn to our first text this morning. We'll turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Old Testament illustrations are very well known. And this, of course, the call of God we're talking about in this case, we're talking about Samuel, the child that was asked for by Hannah, the child who became not only the first judge, but he became the first prophet. Oh, we see in the time of the time of Samuel that a message from God, people were not having messages from God. They were not receiving the word of God. And so it is, we look in chapter 3, and we're going to see the call of this young man called Samuel. I say young man, he was probably just a child. He could have been just, you know, he could have been just 10 or 12 years old. We don't know how old he was. But look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we begin reading in chapter 3 in verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli now was his mentor. He was the high priest there in the temple. And it says that when Eli was laid down in his place, the older high priest, he lay down in his place, and it says his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And then it says in verse 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And of course, it says here, and Samuel ran unto Eli, and he said, here I am, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And it says, and the Lord came again And called again, yet to Samuel. And it says, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And of course, Eli answered. He answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel the third time. And he rose up and he went to Eli and he says, here I am, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Well, when God speaks to your heart, today God works through his word, his written word. The Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to your life. Maybe this morning God has been working in your heart. You might be a teenager. You might be in college. You might be in your middle years of life. And God calls missionaries out that way too. I'll never forget just about 2 years ago, we had a retired school principal who was of course in one of our churches in town, and we knew him when he was in another city. It was a long story. We knew him when he was in another city as a principal of a high school. But then the time goes by. He's retired. He's reached the age, and so he said. One day he showed up and says, hey, you know, I want to go to school. Am I too old? He said, you're not too old. Not at all. If God has called you, is God calling you to his ministry? He says, yes, I know that now. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know God wants me to be in his ministry. And he says, he's retired. And he says, but I want to use these years for the Lord. Of course, he's about 45. And so it was, he started, he did his first 2 years of school, and now he's going to do his third year this year. And I remember before we left, we had another missionary in, and he was preaching and talking about going off to the foreign field. And during that time, he told everyone, he says, you know, I'm so interested in what this missionary is saying because I know I'm called to be a missionary. He said, I'm praying about Cuba. I'm praying about going to Cuba. And I'm thinking, Cuba? Oh, my goodness. You know, that's communist. But he says, I know God is touching our hearts. In the next few years, he'll finish his training as a missionary, and then he will go to the churches new missionaries come here to your church, and they're looking for people who will stand behind him and pray for them and help send them to the field. And this man, he could have just been doing nothing for the rest of his life and just lay back. He says, God wants us in Cuba. Oh, pray. Pray for brother. If you just remember, his name is Noah in English. His name is Noah. Noah, he is excited for God. Oh, today, we need to rekindle this excitement in our churches. We need to show what God could use you to do. God could call you out. And we see Samuel being called out by God. We look to another place. Talking about the call of God. What really is the call of God? Well, turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, the fascinating thing about Kings chapter 19, we have two of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Of course, one followed the other. And we see the great prophet Elijah. Elijah. Elijah, he was the one who he withstood 450 prophets of the pagans. And they had this competition. Who is going to call fire from heaven? Who's going to send fire from heaven? And you know the story, how they all gathered together. How that How that the pagans, they got on, they built their altars and they started screaming and cutting themselves and bleeding and just begging Baal to send the fire down from heaven. And of course, they did it all day and nothing happened. Well, here we have Elijah. Elijah. He gets up. He repairs the altar of God. He puts everything in its place. And then when everything is put on the altar, that the fire would come and burn it up, he says, now throw water on it. Build a ditch around it and pour water all around the ditch. Because we want to know that this isn't going to be just some, happenstance. This is going to be an act of God. And now you know what happened. That time, they screamed all day, the pagans. He got up and he said about a 50-second prayer. 50 seconds of prayer, about a minute maybe, I don't know, max. And he just said, basically, God, just show them who you are. And the fire fell. And it just burnt everything up. And of course, the people knew now who God really is. Oh, today, may you let God reveal himself in your life. Today, God is going to work in your life through his word. He's going to work in your life through him leading you by his word. But we see here this Elijah. We see Elijah is going off the scene. The time before Elijah is gone. There's a time when, there's going to be, there's missionaries that you've been supporting before who have now left the field because they're now in their 70s and they're just, but there's a time for replacement. And we see this replacement in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to see once again the call of God and see what it's all about. In chapter 19 of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 19, we see that Elijah now. We see that Elijah now is going to find his replacement. That's what's interesting. He's going to find his replacement. And God said to and the Lord said unto him, he told, the Lord said to Elijah, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when he cometh, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimrod, shall thou anoint the king of Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphath, of Abel, Meholah, shall thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room, in place of you. And it shall come to pass that he that escapeth from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and he that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 men in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. And look at 19. Now we're going to look at what we're really wanting to see. It says, so Elijah, he departed thence, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him. You could just see this happening. He goes walking by him, and he has this mantle, the mantle of the prophet. It was the symbol of a prophet, but it's what they wore. It was really kind of their house. It was their shelter. These people, these guys like Elijah, they just had an itinerant life. They were always walking through the country, doing God and preaching God's word. But we see him come to this young man, Elisha, and he's there, and it says, and Elijah passed by, and it says, and he took his prophet's mantle and he threw it on him. One time we were in a youth camp, and I had one young man come up here, and he didn't know what was going to happen. But he stood over at the side, and we did this Elijah thing. And we had one guy, and he was Elijah. He came, and then we came by this guy. He threw his big old mantle on top of him, and he kind of goes, "Whoa!" That was kind of what happened here. He was working with the 12 oxen. And now look what it's talking. It says there's 12 men who are plowing with the oxen. There's 12 yokes of oxen. He's the 12th one. He's the last one. He's the owner's son. He's the foreman of him. And so he is working there, and he's trained these men, and they're plowing the fields, 12 of them at a time. It's a big thing. His father must have been a wealthy man to have so many oxen and people working for him. But when it comes to this moment, here comes the prophet. He throws his mantle on Elisha, and Elijah understood what was happening. And it says, and he left, and it says, and Elijah, and it says, and he left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah. Elisha, he understood he's going to receive the ministry of Elijah. And he says, now, he ran after Elijah. He says, wait, hey, let me go back. Okay, I'll go with you, but let me go back and say goodbye to my mom and dad. You say, what's the big deal? Well, go back and say goodbye to them. Now, and then come with me. No, see what happened here. It says, and he said, and he left the ox, and he says, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said unto him, and here's Elijah. What did Elijah say to him? He says, go back home, you wimp. That's what his idea was. Go back home. And what have I done to thee? He was saying this. He says, I'm not the one calling you. You think this call is coming from me? No. I don't know if you're going to be good or bad. But God said, go to you. Because, see, Elijah understood what was going on. In those days, when you said you were going to go, you're going to leave your home, you're going to go off to the, I don't know where you would go off to work or whatever, but in those days, when you left your home, it was a major break in your life. And many times, when you would go back home and say, okay, Mom and Dad, I'm going with the prophet, they said, oh, honey, you don't really want to go and be a prophet. Those people just starved to death, you know. You don't want to go in the ministry because you know how people sometimes treat you bad. He says, your dad, he's giving you everything. Your dad's going to be retiring, and who's going to be the foreman for all the oxen? How is it all going to get done? And maybe, he's starting to weaken. Think, maybe I shouldn't go. But what happened in this story, this story, he says, pray. He says, pray, let me go back. And of course, Elijah's idea was, if you go back, if you don't just go now, you'll probably never go. Because many times the mom and dads, they were smart. They would keep having parties. It was a continual party. The going away party was, it could go on for a couple of months. And Elijah knew that. It's an excuse to get out of this thing. And his mom and dad could take this, and he will never get to be a prophet like Elijah was. But no, what did Elisha do? Do you remember? He did double of what Elijah did. I mean, this was a young man that God was really going to use, but his mom and dad would probably try to talk him out of it. Oh, and the mom and dad, don't get me wrong, they're not bad people. They just love their son. Don't want to see him go off. Oh, today, and I'll apply this today, if you have a son or a daughter who's saying, I'm called to be a missionary, don't discourage him. Just talk to him and pray with him about it. He says, we'll pray about this. But don't ever come up and say, no, you're not going to be a missionary. Let God work in their lives. Today, God is calling out people still by the word of God. Today, God is calling out people to serve him. But what kind of people does God call? I'll tell you what, it's something special to be called of God. Times you say, I'm not special. And God uses, because God uses ordinary people. Amen. But maybe there's things that you can do other people can't do. There's something that God has for you, and it's waiting for you. Today, Don't turn your back on God's call. Accept what he has for you and glory in the greatness of what God does in your life. Because God does not always call people on a convenient time. In fact, we've had so many students come to our school who were already professionals. 1 year, and I don't know why in 1 year this happened, but we had three lawyers left their, and they were young, they were just starting out in their practice, but they already were in a practice, and they were called of God. You know what they did? They dropped it all and went to school. And what amazed us is they didn't stand around all the time in the camp saying, well, I was a doctor before I came, or I used to be a really hotshot lawyer. They weren't that way at all. You know, if you'd talk to them, you'd say, what did you used to do? Oh, I was a lawyer. Said, a lawyer? Whoa. You left all that? Yeah. Why? Because God called me. Oh, today, let God call you. Let God call you. God calls people. It's an interesting thing. Oh, God almost always calls busy people. It's fascinating. That's why you see this. And I went through and looked at the different people we've had over the years, and we had three lawyers all at once. We had a veterinarian. We had two civil engineers. And we were looking at a project where the government said we had to build a whole new bridge to enter into our property. And we thought, who are we going to get that's going to, it's going to cost several thousand dollars or maybe more just to get the blueprints for this done. And so somebody said, well, isn't Fred a civil engineer? And Joe is one too. And they got these two guys together. They did it all. And they didn't charge a thing. They said, charge you guys? No way. We're students here. And they did this beautiful work for the glory of God. And these guys are going to be used by him. We've had civil engineers. We've had an architect. We've had a young girl who was going to the diplomatic corps and dropped it all. And you know what else we had? Just simple, ordinary people. You don't have to be special to go be called by God. And we were just so surprised. We didn't know until we read their story. We didn't know who they were because they weren't looking out for their glory. They're looking for the glory of God. Oh, today, God is calling people. And he's calling people. It's so interesting. God calls people who are busy. That's an interesting thing. God is calling people who will have time for him and will devote their lives for him. Today, God is still calling people. God is still calling missionaries. Today, you may be that future missionary that God will send out. Oh, but today, God is still calling. You're saying, Brother Redding, how exactly is that, how's that done? Well, it's like we said earlier. How does God call someone to salvation? Let me ask that question. How do you get called to salvation? You hear the word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and says, that means you, buddy. That means you, girl. And when you hear the gospel, it says you need to be saying, you get that conviction of the Holy Spirit from the word of God, that this is what you should do. You should give your life to God to be saved. But then there's the call of God to service. And God does the same thing. He takes the word of God, and all of a sudden, it's yours. You own it. All of a sudden, you say, well, I'm the one. And you realize, God wants me to do this thing. You just know. You know that God is putting this on your heart, and you know that this is what you need to do with your life. Oh, today, listen to the call of God. It all starts. It all starts with the word. I mean, the Holy Spirit does not work apart from the Bible. That's one thing that should be clear. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything that isn't in the Bible. But God uses the word to apply it to your heart, to call you out. Oh, today, may God take the word of God. May he take his word. May the Holy Spirit take it and put it on your heart. Not all young people and all people are called to be missionaries, but there definitely are people who are. And you might be surprised how many could be called out of a church like that, this, who has such an influence with missions. Today, God is calling. At this time, let's have a word of prayer. We're going to stand and have a word of prayer. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask the pastor to come at this time. Because God is still calling out missionaries. God is still doing this wonderful thing.